Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.
Mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment.
This is an upside-down kingdom.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening to Kingdom Culture Conversations. It is September 12th, a Monday.
Wow.
Mr. Brown, big week ahead of us this week.
It's a great week.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got some outstanding opportunities for our students, and you're headed on Thursday morning.
Roger.
This will mark well over 100 for you.
103.
Your 103rd
trip with Northwest Christian
to
Mexico,
and you're headed down to Kids Kingdom in Imuri, Sonora. Tell us a little bit about that trip. What are you doing?
37 high school students.
Wow.
And three vans. And 45 total of us heading down. And, you know, Jeff, we love and we play and we make meals, but we try to develop that heart of kinship, right? The idea that I'm teaching our kids here at 16401 North 43rd Avenue, the helping them develop that biblical worldview, and including other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And they get to see and experience and give a love of Jesus to some pretty special kids, including my daughter, who we're waiting. If you're a praying person, continue to pray for Elena that she would get up to Phoenix sometime.
Yeah, if you don't know, G has adopted one of the orphans down at Kids Kingdom, and we're just waiting for her to come home.
She's already a little crusader, but we'd like to get her in the school. She wears purple.
In my purview, I'm thinking there's so much illegal immigration.
Yeah.
Why don't we just throw her in the back of the van and bring her home?
That's right.
But we're trying to do this legally.
Yeah.
Legally. And it requires patience, but it'll be good for you to see her this week, and it'll be good for those, you know, these missions trips, as we call them, are less missions trips.
Yeah.
With each subsequent trip, they're more like family reunions.
Right.
For our students. And
right.
I love the fact that you're taking high schoolers down, because many of these high schoolers have gone multiple times. But you've also got some
we got some new kids coming, some freshmen coming that new to. I love it when I see kids new to our school just say, hey, let's try this.
Yeah.
You know? And we have so many options here to try, but the options to serve really have a great difference in people's lives.
Well, that leap of faith to cross the border, to go to a place you've never gone. You know, you hear this and this in the news about Mexico, and there's a leap of faith that's involved for a student and a family to engage this trip. But I love that, because it's just so cool to see God meet them in that leap of faith.
Well, our guest today actually hit, and we'll get his brother and sister and other brother actually went on these trips when they were in eighth grade.
Oh, cool.
And no, I think Calvin didn't go till his senior year, I don't think.
But, yeah, he waited a while,
Awesome.
And you're going to Washington, D.C.
I'm heading out also on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll be headed out to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And I work with the ACSI, the Association of Christian Schools International. They have a public policy conference that's taking place in D.C. And we have a legal legislative initiative in which we'll meet with different legislators and different individuals. And as a product of that, we'll work to protect religious liberty in the estimation of our lawmakers.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that.
There's a lot of movement with that bill signed in Arizona about a month ago.
Yep. Governor Doug Ducey signed into law the Universal ESA.
Yeah.
And when this podcast airs, we'll be really close to the launch of that.
Yeah.
90 days after it was passed in the legislature, it's supposed to go into effect. And so that's September the 24th. And there is a referendum in play to see if that can be kicked to the ballot.
Yeah.
Which we hope it's not,
right.
But if that is the case, I'm praying that it goes to the 22 ballot, not the 24 ballot.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on right now in our country, and there's a lot to pray about, and there's a lot of really good reasons to make sure that our families are plugged into the local church.
Yes. Local churches, we say it's the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world, but his plan A was the church.
And there is no plan B.
There's no plan B. There's no plan B. And we have a young man with us today who's a student ministry director at a local church, the Trinity Church out in Scottsdale. Zach Driscoll, how you doing, Zach?
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a fun day so far, speaking at chapel and being able to be here with you guys. So thank you.
Super great, Zach. You have an Oakland A's hat on. You can't see it. And there's a pin on your hat. What does the pin say to you?
It's just from where I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But baseball fan, 100%.
Big baseball fan. Played here at Northwest Christian.
Yep. Played in high school. Won a state championship my junior year. So that's
one of my greatest
memories here. Love it.
And what was your position in baseball, Zach?
I played center field. Yes.
Okay. So covering a lot of ground.
Yeah. Gotta be quick out there.
And obviously a good memory of Northwest is that state championship.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated what year?
2018.
Okay. And what were some other memories you might have had of your time here as a Crusader?
Yeah. I came into NCS my sophomore year, and I remember my first semester was hard, difficult to try and find like my purpose and friends and stuff. And I just remember a group of guys coming around me and teachers coming around me, like Mr. Southall, and just loving on me and giving me opportunity to grow and build community, and that it helped me flourish. Like I have great memories from the school, and I'm totally thankful and grateful for all the amazing faculty and all the great families and kids who come through here. And yeah, I'm just thankful that I get to come back and see that God's still working.
Yeah, well, he doesn't take too many days off. He takes one day off a week, maybe, or he did early on.
He certainly went to work today in chapel. You nailed it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Now, one of my memories of Zach, and this is one of the distinguishing characteristics, is that you have an interesting side hustle.
Yes.
And you want to actually, it was my son that cued. He graduated in 2016, uh-huh. But he followed you, I think, on social media or something in your adventures in the side hustle. What is that? What do you do?
Yes. Since like eighth grade, I've been into shoes and sneakers. And my parents were like, why would you spend $200 on a pair of shoes? So I figured, well, if I'm going to buy them, I'm going to have to find a way to make some money. And kind of turned into a side hustle. Cleaning shoes for friends and stuff, and just got bigger and bigger, and still selling shoes and clothing and stuff to this day. And yeah, it's a fun side game. You buy
shoes that have been used or gently used or whatever. Mm-hmm. You rehab the shoes.
Yep.
And the markup on shoes out there is unbelievable.
Out of control.
Yeah, it's a good market.
So I love that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
Well, even your shirt today, Zach, you can't see it, obviously, because this is on the radio. It's not really a radio, is it? It's more the computer.
Somewhere it's on
the interwebs. But your shirt, that shirt's from 1999.
Yeah, old shirts. People buy stuff like that for nostalgia, and it's fun collecting because they don't make them anymore. So. Yeah.
Have you expanded to vintage shirts now?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Found that market. So anything old that I can find and sell for more money and has some nostalgia
Good
to
for
it.
For you.
It's a fun side hobby, yeah.
Love it. So you grew up, your dad's a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen a lot of kids, their dad's pastors or their dad's in ministry or their parents are in ministry, and it's like, I really want to do that, or I really don't want to do that. Because
mm-hmm.
unfortunately in ministry, wherever it is, whoever it is, people get beat up.
Totally.
And you saw that, and you still decided you want to do ministry
mm-hmm.
With your life. When was that kind of moment where you're like, this is kind of what I want to do?
Yeah, so my dad has been a pastor for 25 years. My parents have been in ministry, and I'm 23. So I grew up in the church. It's pretty much all I know. Like, I have some of my youngest memories of being checked into kids' ministry and started leading Bible studies for my youth group at, like, age 12. And early on in life, I felt that I had a calling to ministry. But in middle school, high school, just trying to find my identity, my purpose, decided I didn't want to do that anymore, wanted to pursue business, and found out I was an entrepreneurial spirit and I can make money. And then went to ASU for a year. And during that year, God, with the separation from my family and the church and going to a Christian school, that was an opportunity for God to pull me aside and solidify the truth in my own heart. And he drew me back to wanting to be in ministry and pursuing that calling. And about 3-4 years ago, I just felt called to be in ministry, specifically leading the next generation of students and Gen Z, and loving on them and teaching them the truth and seeing their hearts change. And yeah, just felt called to do that, and was was told by my mentors and my parents and people who prayed over me and loved on me that that's God's will for me. So I've been chasing that for the past three, four years. Yeah.
And within that, you got married. You have a yeah. wife now, Chloe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Chloe's amazing. The only thing better than doing ministry is doing ministry with my wife.
Cool.
So she's the best.
I love how his face lights up when he says Chloe.
100%.
Yeah. Shout 100%. Out to Chloe. That's cool.
How long have you been married, Zach?
A year and a half now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I got to meet her at camp. Mm-hmm. We got to do camp together this summer over in California. That was a lot of fun. What is your role, though, now? What are you doing now specifically working with Gen Z? What's your title is Student Ministries Director.
Yeah.
And yes, so what does that entail?
So basically, I run services for students. We do weekly services on Saturdays at Trinity Church. And then we have small groups, got like 25 small group leaders that I oversee. And yeah, we just love on the kids, do ministry together, worship together, do community, do life together, eat meals together, do service projects, some camps and events and conferences.
Wow.
Summer at Trinity is pretty special.
Yeah.
I love the way you guys engage the community. You want to describe that a little bit?
Yeah, we kind of go all out for summer. For the kids, we do water slides every single weekend for the entirety of the summer. It's like 6 months. We do water slides in the backyard is what we call our kids' ministry. We do student events all summer and just like bring in food trucks and have fun and have people hang out after service.
And you're drawing in people from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's electric.
Yeah, I mean, it's open cool. invite. If anyone wants to come hear the gospel or hang out with the church, you're welcome, you know?
Zach, I've been working with students for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing young guys that, you know, I got to have a little influence on. Now they're passing it on. What's some issues? Because nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. I think things are magnified today with social media, with the advent of just being able to see with going on. But what's an issue, some big issues you see teenagers facing today?
Yeah. Yeah, the way I'd like to see it or put it is that Satan doesn't have any new sins. It's just he markets them different. And this generation, this generation has more access to information. Like, we're the first kids to grow up with a tablet and a phone in our hands since we were born, like sitting in a stroller with an iPad, and we knew how to work them better than our parents, which in some ways it can be useful, but a lot of ways it's harmful because our brains weren't meant to have access to information globally 24/7. And it really, one of the big problems that I see kids have is they have all this information, but their identities aren't formed and they don't know what to do with the information. And it just creates chaos in their souls. And it creates brokenness. They try things out and they test things out because social media says that it's good or because they have too much info for their age. And it ends up getting kids in a lot more trouble at an earlier age. So whether that be anxiety or depression or suicidal thoughts, those are big things. Kids have a lot of identity issues because they've been given this information, but they haven't been told what to do with it.
Well, one of the points you made, too, powerfully, is that so much of that information isn't grounded, isn't rooted in mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah.
And it may be portrayed as truth, but the question isn't being asked, what is the standard for that truth?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're not just being overwhelmed with information, but disinformation, and they're trying to internalize that and make sense of something that just isn't going to ever make mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they get an skewed view of reality, totally. And that's sad.
And if you're a high school parent and your child or your student heard from Zach this morning and you said something that really stood out to me is that the opposite of truth isn't a lie. You said it was something else. Can you talk about that and what that was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the opposite of truth ultimately, when you look at it from Scripture's lens, is death. Hell is full separation from the truth, Jesus Christ, forever, and that's death.
Wow.
And that's a scary realization to come to, that when you're opposed to the truth, you're not just lying, but you're bringing death.
Yeah, and we see that with teenagers, right? Because that we talked about in our community groups and in mm-hmm. chapel. What's kind of popular today? Mr. Brown, what's your truth? Mm-hmm. And what's my truth? And what happens when they're different? Like, we've got three guys in this room, and we all have different truths.
Yeah.
What happens?
Be an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to be grounded and solidified in the truth. I think, yeah, like we were talking about, kids have so much info and false information as well, that we need something to be the standard. And I believe that's God's word. If God wrote a book, I'm going to open it up, and he has a lot of words to say. There's better information in that book than anything on social media. And that's what I believe these kids need to have a heart change and to have hope for the future.
Where did you, Zach, fall in love with, you know, God's word in mm-hmm. terms of when did you internalize that discipline of time? Obviously, you know, as we sit here and talk to you today, I'm admiring the way that you articulate right. truth. I'm admiring the way that you demonstrate a respect for God's word. But how did you personally fall in love with God's word? At what age and how did it happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely started as a child. You know, you don't have full authority over your life. So my parents read me the Bible and they showed me and told me in their words and their actions that God's word is true, and I can trust that, and I can go to that when I need help. Mm. So I read the word from a young age and enjoyed it, but when I was nine, I read through the entire Bible my first time, and I've done it every year since.
Wow, that's so cool.
And yeah, like every time, the thing I tell students when they're like, I don't really read my Bible, every time I read the Bible, I learn something new, and it's like a habit. The more you form it, the more you get used to it, the more you get comfortable with it. And we live in a broken, fallen world where, like, people are opposed to the truth, and it's not natural to love the word. But I would just encourage parents as well as students, like, if you have the opportunity to lead your children or yourself read the word more, like, build that habit, because that seed that you plant, fruit will come from that in the future.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, a couple weeks ago, you kicked off in elementary chapel what you call the Red Letter Challenge.
Red Letter Challenge, and mm-hmm. that's the opportunity that we extend. We extended primarily in the elementary to our students to read through all four of the Gospels, you know, one chapter per day, and essentially it takes 3 months to do it.
That's awesome.
And I love it because for many students at this age, this is their very first time to be invited, encouraged into God's word. So I was, as you were speaking, Zach, I was encouraged to hear that it kind of blows my mind that you read through the entire Bible when you were nine.
Yeah.
But our students are capable of that.
Totally.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we sell ourselves short as families and also as individuals, especially the younger we are, when we think that we're not able to do that. We certainly can. And mm-hmm. the fruit that bears, because you go back to the beginning of this conversation, Zach, you're talking about the fact that, you know, our young minds are overwhelmed with 24/7 information that's disinformation. Mm-hmm. It needs to be met with the counter. And that's the antidote to that is God's word. And how much more powerful would it be if it wasn't the antidote? It was the basis for our conversations, for the decisions we make in our homes. But it begins with that commitment to God's word. True.
You're 23.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do math super quick, but 23 from 9 is a pretty big number. We're just going to say
14,
that. Yeah. Zach's
math.
Zach went to
NCS well did me well. Yeah. I can subtract.
And I one of the things I said that you said you learn from God's word every time you read of it. And I had a professor in college. He had memorized the book of Romans. And we had to memorize 8 Romans to get out of his final. And he would say every time he opens Romans or God's word, where are you at right now? What are you reading right now? And what's God teaching you through that word?
Yeah. Currently, our church is finishing up Genesis. So I've been teaching through that to our students, which has been awesome. Genesis 1 through 35, right up to the Joseph story. Also studying James and then also studying 1 John. So I like to read the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time because there's just so much to compare and get out of each, and they complement each other.
Yeah. That's cool. One of the things, Mr. Brown, you went to Psalm 119 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when David, we assume that was David who wrote that, said, I meditate on your word day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when David wrote that. What was his word at that point? It was the Pentateuch, right? It was the Torah. So I've seen kind of a little bit of a, well, it's, we're New Covenant, New Testament now, but these Jesus read the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew the Torah super well, and so did David. And it's all 66 books, right,
mm-hmm.
is the entirety, and that's what we need to be. And I love that you're winning that every day. So James, what are you picking up in James, man? That's a great one. Good practical application.
Yeah,
book.
James talks a lot about how we have to work out our faith, and being in ministry, I think it's a really good reminder of what that looks like in James, just practically loving people and serving people and like laying my own life down and whatever circumstances are in my own life that God's greater than those. So I need a reminder of that a lot.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then how do we get that? I mean, we talked a little bit this morning about teenagers,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with all this identity stuff, dealing with how do we get and I don't have an answer for it, but mm-hmm. how do we come alongside teenagers in this time where they are trying to figure this stuff out?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was like some magic fairy dust answer.
Yeah, me too.
Truth is like. Yeah, I think it's relationship, you know. They need mentors, they need parents, they need friends. They need a lot of relationships to counter the false information, and they need godly relationships with people who are willing to dig through things and wrestle through things with them. And it's not easy. It's the most difficult thing, but I think specifically as Christians, like we're called to do that. We're called to serve others and love others above ourselves. And this generation really needs more people to do that, to get in the dirt and wrestle with convictions and help these kids in their identity.
You know, my mind, it goes to chemistry because I'm a science guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about a chemical reaction, you know, we think it's like a math problem where mm-hmm. this element plus this element or this molecule plus this is going to proceed to this. Well, it doesn't actually work that way. What happens is you take these different reactants and you put them in proximity together.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force them to react. All you can do is put them in proximity, and mm-hmm. they're inclined to react. If you add something called a catalyst will affect the rate and vigor of a reaction. And as parents, I think we're, in a form, spiritual chemists. All mm-hmm. we can do is put our students in proximity to the different reactants. I can't make my student fall in love with God's word. I can't make my student fall in love with attending church. I can't mm-hmm. make them fall in love with truth. But what I can do is produce moments where they are in proximity to the different reactants that will produce the products that the Holy Spirit is the catalyst.
Totally.
You know, the Holy Spirit ultimately is the one as parents that we need to trust that if I'm faithful to bring together the reactants that catalytic work of the Holy Spirit will produce the transformation,
mm-hmm.
will produce that product that I'm hoping to see. But you can't force it mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Well, Zach, you kind of hit that with your own life.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a student ministries director. That doesn't make you a follower of Christ. That's just your position, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you are a child of God.
Yeah.
And your folks put you in that proximity. They couldn't make you're not a Christian because your dad's a pastor. You're not a Christian because you went to a Christian school. You even mentioned that to our kids, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, your school can't save you. Your parents can't save you. Like, just like in chapel, that's what I hit on. I wanted those kids to know that, like in 1 John 3, it says that God is greater than our hearts, and we have to lay our own hearts down to Him and be filled with His Spirit. And we can know the truth in our heads, but if you just keep it in your head, that's not really going to do much to impact your life. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
great stuff.
This is awesome.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, Zach, super thankful for you, for coming in, for your following God, mm-hmm. and being a good example to our students.
You're just an encouragement, Zach.
Yeah.
You really are. You inspire me and make me grateful for the work that we do here. You're a vivid reminder. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
God bless you, my friend.
Love it.
And God bless y'all. Thanks for listening. And if you could pray for Zach and his ministry at Trinity Church. And me, as I travel to Mexico, Mr. Brown, as he travels to D.C., thanks for listening to Kingdom Culture Conversations.
Yeah, take care. Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit.
regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.